listen to the rock and roll on Saturday night. Saturday night, dancing to the rhythm in our heart and soul.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Talking Pylons. We promised we would be back and in full swing, and here we are. We're keeping our word. We've got plenty in store for you today, and it's going to be a fun episode. So I'm going to pass it over to my co-host, Jake Radner. He's going to introduce our guest for today. I'm very excited.
Our special guest, my boy, Thomas the Madman Kaner. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you, fellas?
Great.
Good to get here.
So we got...
Man, I missed the...
Go ahead, Mike.
I missed the Peoria memo.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's got their Peoria.
We're ripping your Stanks today.
I don't think I got any. I don't got any out here with me.
I jumped on and I showed Rat, and he's like, oh, should I change into this? And I was like, yeah, dude, it's Kaner coming on, so we got to rep Peoria.
But, oh, I appreciate it.
Well, I want to go back, though, to your start in hockey. Where did you get your start at? At what age did you know that you wanted to play hockey?
Oh, I don't even remember making the decision. It was when I could start walking. There were skates on my feet. So dad played over in Europe and came back, and he was coaching locally. So it was just I was raised in the high school hockey locker room.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're practically Canadian, basically, because you were born with skates on your feet. But you grew up in Michigan, and you had told me a little bit about your dad, that he ran the high school rink. So you got lots of ice time, and he also designed the logo for your high school, which is oddly similar to the Chicago Wolves logo. But so explain that one to me. What was it like having dad as coach and giving you all that ice time?
Yeah, that was an awesome experience growing up with the big guys, as I used to call them when I was growing up, in and out of their locker room on the ice with them. There's a few times I got ran over during practice when I drifted out into the ice a little farther than I should have. But that growing up there and in that environment was awesome. But as far as the logo goes, I don't know how much my dad had in designing it. I don't think he's too up to date on his graphic design, but I don't know. I feel like they definitely had to pull something from the Chicago Wolves there.
No, it's a sick logo, though. It really works out. And you getting all that ice time at an early age, I'm sure, carried over into your high school and made you a better player. What was the biggest thing that your dad would maybe preach that made you kind of like the player that you are today?
Oh, he was always preaching compete level. He didn't care about points, goals, anything like that, because I had plenty of that in high school. There were still games I'd come back, 2-3 goal games, and it was still those awkward car ride homes before I turned 16. So, it was definitely that compete level, that making the right play for the right situation, not just I can go end to end, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. So, a lot of those lessons, especially when I was playing for him there.
Yeah, those awkward car rides where you, Dad, I left my skates at home. Can we go back?
Oh, I think there was one game I forgot a jersey at home. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that didn't go over too well. I think Grandma and Grandpa came in huge, though, and swung by the house and ripped it over to the barn real quick. So we made it work.
Now, so you are Bay City, Michigan. So you're a little bit farther from Detroit, but it's still your closest NHL team. However, you told me that, despite going to a lot of Red Wings games, you more so looked at individual players. So what are some of the players that you watched growing up and even today that you've either, respected or you even model your game after?
Yeah, I don't know if I've really modeled my game after. It was more of the characters that they had there in the Lindstrom was a big one, especially growing up playing D. It was just felt right. I was always number five once I got to choose. But back before that, when I was really young, it was always 19 Yzerman getting to have the wings, have the run that they did during my childhood was unreal. It was pretty surreal. So Yeah, getting to see Yzerman score those crazy goals and Lindstrom hearing the perfect human stories about how he was always in the same spot at the same time before every game. Just things like that were things that I've always strived to model after.
Okay, but I looked at my sheet today and I saw Kaner coming on and I got excited and then I realized, oh, it's just Thomas Kaner, the Walmart brand of Patrick Kane. So tell me though that
No, it's
you
Kaner.
love Kane. No, you love
I do love
Patrick Kane
what? I'm
too.
sorry.
Tell me you love Patrick Kane too
Oh
though for
yeah,
all
Jeff.
our Blackhawks listeners out there.
Kaner with a Y.
Oh, okay.
That's the one I love. No, he's a great player. I'm just messing with you a little bit because I know your obsession with the Hawks there.
Yeah, that's very true. I gotta be impartial though. This is Red Wing talk now. We're in your territory. You're the guest. But you
Oh.
also played with this guy over here in Peoria.
Oh yeah. I made it there eventually. So I went from high school, and my senior year was a tough decision. I ended up going downstate and playing for Meyer AAA out of East Lansing there in Michigan. Met some awesome guys there, and then graduated high school after that year, and then I went to Oakland Junior Grizzlies, which was an awesome program in Detroit. They treated us like we got spoiled there, that was for sure. But that year I struggled, and then COVID came along and ended up in Rochester, Minnesota, playing for the Grizzlies. Had a brief stint there before I had to pack the bags and head to Peoria. I think getting traded there was probably one of the most impactful things that happened to me throughout my junior career. Learned a lot through that time and that process.
Yeah, so I mean, I want to know, what was your experience like in Rochester? What was the things that stood out? What was the things you didn't like? And kind of compare and contrast with Peoria, because you did play in the same division, but two different
Yeah,
teams.
absolutely. The biggest difference was the amount of guys in the room, day in and day out. There's new faces every day, every week there in Rochester. They had guys coming in from different high schools that they wanted to see, so they give them a couple of games. They had guys that were getting dropped from the NA that you're like, all right. And then you had guys that come in, fight a couple guys at practice, and then their job was over. They were off to the next team to probably do the same thing. So there was never any sort of guarantee in that locker room. I was scratched there more than I was anywhere else. I think I got traded to Peoria, and I was scratched twice the rest of my junior career. And they were usually against the Wausaus or St. Louis of our division. So that security and having the roster spot was a lot different. The fellas in that room were good. They had a good core group of veterans that have been there 3, 4 years that knew how they wanted things ran, and it was ran that way. And it was ran to a T in the locker room. But I mean, I guess I've said one big difference, but the biggest difference was coaching once you got to Peoria, and Rack can attest to that for sure. The coaching that Peoria had in Orton, but more Gee, was something special that I learned from, and I love that I had the opportunity to be surrounded in that every day.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I've only had one junior coach or a couple junior coaches of the same team, and I mean, every time I talk to them, I learn something. I mean, they're great people. I can't imagine anybody else in the NA3 coaching that's going to be as good as they were and pay attention to details like that for sure.
No, it was. Yeah, that was it. You learn something every day, and it wasn't just on ice; it was off ice, and different whatever tactics Guy had up his sleeve for that week. But there was always a method behind it, and he had his reasonings, and he could pull the evidence and support to back everything up. So you couldn't argue about anything. He had the numbers, he had the stats, he had the studies done, and everything that he did.
For sure. Well, I want to dive into some stories here. I want to ask a couple questions. What is your favorite time? What was your favorite part of junior hockey? Either Peoria or Rochester. I'm assuming it's Peoria, but what's your best memory?
I mean, it's hard to pick one. One that I find myself thinking about quite a bit after being done with junior hockey is before your time. It was my second weekend. I came into Peoria. My first weekend was rocky, but I had just gotten traded. I got in on a Thursday and I played Friday, Saturday. So it was kind of after my first week with the team and all the guys. And I scored 2 goals in the first half of the game to keep us in it. And we ended up winning and getting player of the game after that one. I just knew that I had found a home, and the support that all the fellas had was something that stuck with me until my time in Peoria concluded. So that was probably one of my favorite memories that I got in Peoria.
Yeah. There is one story I want to go over. I want to know your side of it because I'm part of this story, but it was late in the season last season, and we didn't usually play together, and I ended up on your line. I want to have you walk through that story.
Yeah. So I wasn't happy with my line mates at the time. I was more in a mentoring role at that point in the season. I was helping some of the younger guys kind of figure out the ways of Peoria and how to deal with some of the coaching tactics and different things like that. And so I felt like I was being punished for my success in a way. So I was always every day we'd come to the rink, the lineup would be posted for that day in practice. And I would always come with high hopes, and I would be disappointed for a couple of months throughout the year there. And then Rad, on the other hand, was playing with a couple of studs. I think you were on Ches and Wise's wing, was it?
Yeah, it was me, Ches Wise. So, 14, yes. 29, 22.
Yeah, I didn't remember it, but you did. So he was tearing it up. He was loving it. He was around a couple of the best players in that locker room on and off the ice. So I came into the locker room one day. I got there pretty early, and I was hopeful walking up to the board, and I think it was 14, 28, and 12. So it was me, Rat, and Grammer. And I loved playing with Grammer. I played with him the whole year before, and I was excited. Me and Rat hadn't got to play with each other yet, and I was excited. And so I was so excited. I texted Rat telling him, hey, I just sent the lineup, and I think all Rat said was fuck back. And he wasn't as excited as I was to have the new line mates.
Oh man, so I mean, I love playing with you, man. Like I was so excited to play with you. It's just missing Ches and Wise, man.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. So, no, Rat was lucky. It didn't last long. I ended up with Chris Condillis and Graham. Like, we started in the beginning of the year, and we just kept our thing moving in there after that. So no, it was a blast though.
Did you ever get stuck with Hendo?
No, Hendo was on the backside.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So I'm not sure. I don't think I had Hendo on any of my power plays or anything like that. I think I was with, who's wrong with my peeper? I think it was Wise up top.
Yeah, I think it was Wise, Chess, T, and
yeah, I was at bumper. They don't got me there this year. I'm missing that. Missing my little home there in the middle.
We love Hendo. But I just love him. I've never met him, but I just hear all the stories you guys tell of how crazy he is in the locker room.
Yeah, we like to say that he's the missing link in between the monkeys and the humans in the stages of evolution. And somewhere in the middle, we don't know where, but he hasn't quite made it all the way here yet. So we're still waiting on that.
But speaking of this year, you are now, I believe, at Liberty University in Virginia. How is that going so far this year?
Man, it's scenery out here, campus, everything like that's beautiful. Classes have been going. I've been out of high school now 3 years. So I enjoyed my break, but unfortunately it came to an end as far as classwork. School's been going good, though. I'm doing well. I'm making grades. I got pretty much all A's going into finals here the next couple of weeks. So hopefully they stay where they're at. don't get impacted too much. But as far as the hockey side of things, it was definitely a transition. Different practice times. We're practicing at 7:45 in the morning before class. So I'm up and out of the door usually by 6:30, 6:45 every morning. So a lot different than our 3:15 practice times there in Peoria, where you could sleep in, maybe go to the rink, get a workout in the morning, do whatever you needed to do there. So no, so that's been a big change as far as the on ice coaching, all that. The biggest difference has been coaching. Like, it's gonna be tough to transition out of the structure that we were in when we were in Peoria. And that was definitely a struggle for me. Coming out of Peoria and coming here, I didn't have that structure around me. I didn't know, like, we didn't know exactly where every guy was supposed to be. And so I think I came out guns a-blazing and talking to my coaches and presenting him the information that I had learned the past couple of years. And we implemented it. We're running WSCO at our practices now, and we got our three high and all those different things that Guy did with us. But it was I don't have that structure built in, so I got to build it for myself in every game. And that's been the biggest mindset shift, I'll say, that I've had to have is bringing in my own structure into my own game rather than having the coaches bring in the team structure. It was definitely a learning curve, but making do. I'm doing all right, I like to think.
Yeah, I mean, I believe Liberty has a D1 team and D2 ACHA. Unfortunately, did not make the D1 team this year, but you made the D2 team. And what kind of learning experiences are you getting to where you didn't make the top team, but you know that you have the talent and skill to do it? So what do you need to do now to kind of advance your game to get there next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think making this D2 team was a blessing in disguise coming in. And it stung going, walking out of that meeting. Obviously, me and everybody around me was hoping I had that D1 spot, but I got to come down to the D2 team and make an impact right away with the guys in the room, especially on. I mean, I was doing my job. I was producing. I scored in my first game, which was a weight off the chest right away to get that one out of the way. Then went on a 9-game slump, but I scored in my first one. So that's the story I'll tell you right now. So I got to go down there. I was on the top power play unit. I'm getting tons of minutes every night. I'm one of our top guys on draws. I'm well over 70% right now, I think. So having that impact and being able to be in the lineup every night, making an impact, having the guys around me appreciate me and not just being a scratch or a practice player, hoping that I'm in the lineup for a game this weekend, stuff like that would have been really mentally draining, because I was there when I was in Rochester, and I know the weight it was off me and everybody around me, just knowing that I had a spot every night in the lineup and I was gonna go out there and make an impact every game. So and the group of guys we have is awesome. Guys from all over the place. We got them from Alaska, who's never saw sunlight in his life, to Texas, to Tennessee, all over the place. And we're really close, awesome group of guys. And the culture here is the reason I am here. I saw that when I came out during prospects camp, and here we are. So we'll continue right now. So
that's awesome. I have one more question myself for you, and I know Mike has a couple more. Absolutely. What is the biggest difference? I haven't played college hockey. What's the biggest difference between junior hockey and college hockey?
I miss my visor.
You're wearing a cage or a bubble now? I actually don't know.
I'm in a bubble right now.
Okay.
I tried a cage there at the beginning, and I was just seeing lines. I felt like I was in jail. So I went to the bubble, and we're still trying to figure out how to make that thing not fog up. But I miss my bubble for sure. But the biggest difference is the amount that you see the guys outside of the rink. It was in junior hockey, you're at the rink all day, every day. That's the only place that you have to go and meet up, unless you're meeting at billet houses, but then you're not meeting up with the whole team most of the time. Maybe there's a couple events a year that you're doing that, but you're usually hanging out with the core four, as me and a few other the clown
Yeah.
called it. We loved our time there, but now it's a lot more like I'll just see I'm after class grabbing food at Hay Cow and the Moss after my classes, and my goalie that I haven't seen since break is just happens to be there. Sit down, have a conversation about break. Just different. You cross paths with a lot of guys. I know one thing that really made me feel like part of the group that we had here was it was my first week of classes. So I'd skated with some of the guys, but I didn't really know anybody, and I didn't know where to park on campus to get to my classes. And I just knew that I could park at the rink. So I parked at the rink and I'd walked all my classes from there. I had a solid 15, 20-minute walk to class, and it was hot. I was sweating. I didn't want to walk there, but I was getting to it, getting to my probably English 101 and Bible 110 class. And one of the new guys, I think this is his last year here. I think he's a senior, and I saw him drive by. I'm like, oh, that was so and so. I see him get up to the roundabout, turn around, goes back to the previous roundabout, turns around, goes, hey, Kaner, hop in the car and drove me to class. So just little things like that where you see guys outside of the rink, you see them in classes, you're taking classes with guys, hey, you understand this, that, the other thing. So I think it's a lot easier to grow those personal relationships when you just are forced to be surrounded by guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know Mike had a couple more questions, so.
No, I mean, you've answered a lot, and I had some questions and you answered them within those answers. So I guess that my
Cool.
only question is, how is the actual season going this year? Are you guys looking like a good team, and how long does the season go, and what does it look like for playoffs for you guys? Probably a little early to
Yeah,
think about
so.
that, but never too early.
Yeah, we're I think we're 16-2-1 right now, so we're doing pretty solid. I think we're
Damn.
ranked number three or four. Might be a little, I think we're between 3 and 7, somewhere in there. We bounced around a few games. But yeah, we're playing well. There's not many games we go into that we are unsure if we're gonna win. We go in there, we're the best team in this league. We're here to win it all. So having that this year has been a great mindset. We had, I think one of the coolest stories since I've been here is after my player meeting with the D1 coaches, and they let me know that I wasn't gonna be playing for them, and I was gonna be on the D2 team this year. There's one guy that they had held out of meetings until the end, and it was their top guy last year on the D2 team. So everybody kind of figured out how his meeting was gonna go. He was gonna make the team, and he was gonna go play for the D1 team. So they called him in, and they had their meeting, and I left. I went and grabbed some food with a couple of my roommates and some of the other guys on the D1 team, which is that's I'm living with two of the D1 guys. So we're all out to eat. They asked who made the D1 team from your guys's. That I was it was our Captain Harold. Like, oh, they all loved him. They knew him from the year before. They knew the character guy in the locker room that he was, everything about him. So they were all sitting there, and they go to call and congratulate him. They got him on speakerphone, and they congrats, man. You happy for you? Excited to play with you guys or play with you this year. And he goes, I turned my spot down. He goes, I'm going to win a national championship with him.
Damn.
So that goes to tell you the personalities and the leadership we have in that room right now. So, yeah, he's there. Got into the room the first week, and I'm sitting right next to him. So I was asking who made the seating chart. It was me. So he sat me right next to him for my first year. I don't know if that was to keep me in line or if he wanted to become friends with me, but whatever one. Both are working. I'll say that. He's accomplishing both. So no. Yeah, so we got a great group, and I can't speak on that enough this year.
So yeah, so it's West Virginia. It's Liberty is the school, and as Rat was
Oh no,
mentioning, it's
Virginia.
oh Virginia, Virginia. Okay,
Virginia, yes, sir. Central
I'm bad.
Virginia, Lynchburg.
I get my Carolinas mixed up, and I get my West and regular Virginias mixed up. But okay,
Nah,
Virginia.
you're good. Yeah, yes,
But
sir.
So Liberty, so where I know Rap had mentioned it's ACHA hockey. What's the furthest kind of you guys have to travel, and what are some other teams like in your league that you go and play?
Yeah, so this is the my first year here, so I'm still trying to learn all of that. From what I've heard, this is our first year being independent, so we don't have a conference this year, which I think was really holding back some of the strength of schedule that they've had in years past. There was a lot of weak teams in the Virginia area, believe it or not. Hockey isn't as big as it is in the Chicago area or the Michigan area. So, they were playing a lot of teams that games were blowouts. They were point nights, as some players like to call them. So this year we have a pretty good strength of schedule. The farthest for travel, I mean, we get treated like gold. We flew out to Minnesota already this year, bus to NC State, and that those were our only two road trips the first half of the year. A lot of teams wanna come here and play us at our barn just because of the setup that we have. So travel isn't too crazy, but when it happens, that's top of the line. We're on a plane with all the boys flying out of here off to Minnesota. And on that trip, it was pretty awesome. My billet family that I was living with in Rochester came down to or drove over to Blaine and watched some of the games, and I got to have dinner with them after. So it was good to see them through there and back in Minnesota. So
That's awesome. I have some relatives, now that I know it's Virginia and not West Virginia. I have some relatives that are, but they're more on the Maryland side of things. So you're a little bit further away from Washington, but I would assume Taps is probably the closest thing that you guys have. I don't know where, how far it would be
Capitals are the
for.
closest.
Yeah.
Hurricanes are the other closest one. We're pretty neutral between those two, but
That was what I was gonna
yeah,
say. It's probably
a lot
Hurricanes
of
in the south, but you're kind of like right in the middle. So,
yes,
but,
sir.
what's the weather like there, especially around this time of year? Probably no ponds outdoor.
No, we're lucky to get down into the 30s. I say lucky. We're in the 40s. It was nice being back in Michigan here for break and actually being cold. And wait, you wake up, walk out to your car, and your snot freezes. I missed it. So no, weather's not bad here. It's just kind of rainy most of the time, but the mountains make up for it. So
Oh, that's probably really cool. For me, it's like, if you can't get below freezing and there's no outdoor skating involved, just make it summer year round then. Just make it someplace like, Tampa or something like that, where it's nice and warm. Just because there's no point then, you can't play outdoor hockey.
I don't know if I'd be on this call right now if it wasn't for your outdoor rink.
Well, we're gonna
I
get to that
remember.
after the interview, but
Okay.
speaking of the warm weather, this past year we have a big annual roller hockey game. The viewers know because this
Oh,
podcast
yeah.
kind of circles around the SHL. That was your first year. I think I had mentioned that you were the first player to travel across state lines. You're actually the second. However, the first was originally an Illinois native. It was Alec Judah, who had moved out of the state and came back for the game. So you're the
Well,
first non-Illinois resident to make the trip in for the game.
I was the
What
first.
makes. Oh, go ahead.
I was the first born out of state.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
the first one to defect.
Yeah, right. What makes this game so special and worth the trip, and why should fans and other players come out and see this annual event, in your words?
It was just something special with the guys there. And the fellowship that you had. I heard about it from Rat, and it's like, what's he doing? One of those things, just like the rink or the batting cage or the haunted house. What is Mike doing? And so once he told me kind of about what it was and the time and the effort that you put into it, and I was like, oh, it sounds awesome, Rat. And I had to see Rat put on a clinic out there too. That's his Stanley Cup. So if I could be on his line to win a cup with Rat, then I was happy because I knew he wasn't getting Wise or Chez to come to it. So I knew my opportunity was there, and I took advantage. So
did he send you another text message going, shit?
No, he was pretty fired up when I made it into town, and we were gonna be playing together, and so was I. So no, it was when I heard about the time and the effort and the history about it, and I was like, oh, okay, I gotta do it. I had to travel to the area for some other stuff. So I just scheduled that same weekend, got it. Killed a couple birds with one stone and got to play and got to score my first SHL goal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you had a couple of them. I saw them peeling through the footage.
Oh, I only had one. I was
you just had the one?
Getting nervous. Oh,
yeah. You had two. You had two. You had an empty netter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. Okay. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I was getting nervous there in the third. I was like, I get all this talk about me, all the guys know who I am. I have no idea who anybody else is here. It's the old turnaround shirt. Who are you? What jersey you got on? And I was 2.5 periods in and I hadn't done anything. I was like, all right, I got to do something here. I'm shooting the puck every time I get it. So I was happy when 1-1 finally went in. So.
Yeah, well, ice is more your game. You had even said coming in, and you hadn't played as much roller. But as Rat would put it, you have your ice brain carries over, and just it's got to be a little bit of a change in the skating style and stuff for roller. But nonetheless, you won the cup. I wore the blue Peoria T-shirt for you, and then I sat in the orange room for the Oilers because you won the cup with the Oilers. But okay. This next year,
I'm sure
we've
that's
got,
how that played out.
Yeah, exactly. This next year, though, it seems like it's not official just yet, but we talked about it on last episode. The two captains going into this year will be Jake Ratner and Charlie Borda. And it's not confirmed yet, but we may be getting an expansion theme matchup between the Seattle Kraken and the Vegas Golden Knights. So what are you expecting going into this next year and maybe some things that you're looking forward to most with the SHL?
Man, I'm just looking forward to be back around all of you guys. It's always a blast whenever I'm in town. I always look forward to it. As far as the SHL, though, I mean, just the level of play. I hope that it stays the same, so I can still make an impact like I did last game. If there's a few more Ratners on the ice, I don't know how I'm gonna do out there. My hockey IQ is only going to carry me so far before I can't do anything about people buzzing by me.
Well, I'm no longer a healthy scratch in my own game, so I'm coming back for that title. Really? So yeah, you're gonna
off IR?
Keep your head up, buddy.
I totally forgot about that.
I wasn't worried about you, Mike.
I don't think anyone has.
You have been pumping my tires for so long, talking about the haunted house and the batting cage, and my head was getting so big, and now I'm back down to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not worried about you, Mike. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Your ego doesn't need it, Mike. Your ego doesn't need it.
Well, that's about all I got for you. You're welcome to stay on because we're going to get right into rink updates and then NHL talk as well. So I don't know if you have anything you got going on after this.
Yeah, I pushed off some classwork during break. I got a healthy amount of assignments I got to get done here the rest of the day. So, I appreciate you guys having me on. It was good catching up. We should do one where we just let the stories fly, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Do you have anything else for him,
Jake? No, I think that's it. I don't think I have anything too crazy. Just thank you for coming on. It was good talking to you. We haven't talked in a minute, but
yeah, buddy. Thank you. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Well, I'll come on again maybe at the end of my season or something like that. We'll do this again for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. See you, fellas. It was good catching up.
See you later. Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Thomas Kaner. We just call him Kaner here. You know how we do with the last names, but also, you know, Patrick Kane, Kaner. It's just almost the perfect hockey name, other than this one guy I know his last name's Rat. So, I mean, it's pretty neck and neck. They got some pretty good names.
So they're the dynamic duo.
Yeah, it's true. You two on a team together again for the SHL game, that might be a problem. So
dangerous.
Dangerous, yeah. That's all right. I'll shut you guys down. Anyways. Caner did mention something that's pretty big, and I know I had briefly talked about it in our first episode coming back here, but I'm going to get a little more into it today. The rink that I build in the backyard is almost ready right now. It is currently filling as we speak. All the boards are up, the tarp is down, the rope lights underneath the ice are all set. Framing, of course, all done. I found a couple of your family members crawling around. The field mice like to eat through my tarp, so I got to get the water in there as soon as possible to keep them from thinking twice about opening up that tarp, because if they bite through it, it's a waterfall coming right at them. So, but I made sure not to hurt any of them or you know, put them in a different home. I accidentally stepped on a board when we were doing the haunted house, and there was a little guy underneath there, and he didn't make it, and I was very sad. But yeah, so rink is coming up. We will get pictures in a future podcast, because it's not finished yet, and we also gotta have ice. It's still only, I think, like 40 something degrees outside today. So Mother Nature, help me out, do your thing. So. And there's also going to be a documentary coming on it soon. I'm not sure if I'm actually going to post that. It's more of an assignment for class. But if, you know, it's good enough and I feel like it deserves some attention, we might just throw that out there. I've had a couple of people in the past tell me that I should make a how-to type of video of like just, you know, a time lapse or an explanation video of building the rinks. So this might be kind of that. Assignment is more documentary style, so it might not be exactly what we thought, but nonetheless, I hope to make it pretty good, and hopefully that'll be worth showing the process of building the rink. If not, you'll just see a bunch of Snapchat videos of the rink, because we'll be using it all winter long. But that's about all I got there. We've got some NHL news. This has been an interesting week for the NHL. The first thing that we should probably talk about is that Boston OT winner against the Carolina Hurricanes. That was a rocket from David Pastrnak. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that play – I mean, even in overtime before that, Taylor Hall made a sick move and wasn't able to get squeaky past Kochekov. But Carolina ended up regaining the puck, getting it up to the point over to Pastrnak, and he just one-timer let it loose. That was a perfectly placed hard shot, and it was insane watching that happen.
Nothing the goaltender Kochekov could do about that one. Boston improves to 12-0 at home to start the season, which is an NHL record. That's scary, especially for us Chicago fans to see Boston doing this well. I don't know if anybody had predicted Boston to have such a comeback year. They're always a strong playoff team. I think I would compare them to, I don't know, like say the St. Louis Cardinals of the NHL, where they're always in the mix, always talked about, but just sometimes, you know, our strong playoff team just can't get the job done. I mean, I don't think that goes so much for St. Louis, because they've got a couple more rings. But and when it comes to Boston, you can never sleep on them.
No, you cannot. They're a good, solid team.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chicago fans were scared. I'm just going to play the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals on repeat to, you know, help me sleep at night. 17 seconds. it wasn't 17 seconds, but it was 8 minutes. Chicago, our team, the Blackhawks, were leading 4-1 in the third period, halfway through, against the Dallas Stars, who are at pretty much at the top of the Western Conference right now, along with Colorado Avalanche. So 4-1 lead with about 10 minutes to go. And in 8 minutes, Dallas scored four goals to regain the lead 5-4. And then they put in an empty netter to win 6-4. Little personal story. I was a bad fan, but a good better. I had bet against the Hawks in a parlay. So when I saw Dallas come back, I was a little excited, but you know what else I had that parlay? I had Arizona winning, and I'm sorry, I had Arizona losing and they won. So I at that point I should have just been the fan and been rooting for my own team. And then I would have been disappointed anyways. So I don't know if you saw much of this game. What can you say about such a blown lead like that?
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. Hockey could be switched around just like that. I mean, 4 goals in 8 minutes is quick. I mean, that's a goal every 2 minutes mathematically. And it's just insane how quick something can turn around. And unfortunately, it was against our team, the Hawks. But, I mean, we can all say the same. We were down 2-1 in the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals. And within 17 seconds, we're up 3-2. And we ended up with the cup above our heads at the end of the day. But hockey could just go either way. It's just so quick. It just switched around. It's insane.
Are you saying that that's our karma for 17 seconds? Because that was brutal. I could see it. At least it was in the regular season. Sorry, Boston, but at least ours was in the regular season. I had mentioned Colorado and Dallas. There was a game between the two. I believe it was against Dallas, right? I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly. But
no, I think it was St. Louis.
Was it St. Louis? I have to go back and look at the video.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But the referee came back and said that the play was killed due to an injury. And since there was no injury, there was no penalty. That, have you ever heard anything like this? It was a high sticking call. I mean, the stick was, you know.
Rainer, high stick penalty.
The play was killed due to an injury. There's no injury, no penalty.
I guess that what they ruled was it was on a follow through, which part of the rule for high sticking is if it's on follow through, but it wasn't exactly like a follow through of a shot. Like it looked like it was on a follow through of like either a stick lift or, you know, just trying to battle for the puck, and the stick came up and clipped one of the opposing players, but there was no penalty. Have you seen this before?
I looked at it. I looked at it very closely because I laughed when I saw that happen because I was totally not expecting it because there's no injury. There's no penalty. Like that's just, I think that's crazy. The only thing I can imagine is he blew the whistle because he thought there was somebody injured. I don't think the ref saw him getting hit in the face. I honestly think as soon as the whistle was blown, it's because this guy's down and can't move. And he's like in more danger, just laying in front of the net. And there's no penalty or there's no injury. So you can't really call penalty. The play was already dead. You can't go back and call that penalty. Again, I could be wrong. I'm not an NHL ref. I don't know the NHL rules totally into depth like that, but I honestly think it's because that whistle was blown because of an injury.
I was watching it back right now. It was on Dallas's papa. So it was Colorado and Dallas. Colorado's up 3-1, and it was looks like it was Mason Marchment that got his high stick up into the face of, I can't see who that is on Colorado, but yeah, it looked like a follow through, but I could see your point is that they were just blowing it down because they thought there was an injury and they had to blow it dead, but they weren't actually calling penalty on the play. I think it was more so just the fact that the ref was coming out on the microphone at center ice and saying the penalty was killed due to an injury, no penalty. So it's just something that you don't typically hear, other than when, you know, you have a referee go to center ice and just say, you can't do that, that old clip. But yeah, that one was interesting to me. It just seemed like kind of unprofessional reffing, but at the same time, like I guess they know the rules better than us. So Friday was a 1 o'clock matinee game between the Blackhawks and the Montreal Canadiens, a little bit of an original six matchup right after the holiday. And we won't even go into the fact that the Hawks were wearing those ugly jerseys. Sorry, it's kind of stuffy in here. This game, the Blackhawks never had a lead. They were down 1-0 and 2-1, yet they managed to tie it up and take it to a shootout. In that shootout, Jonathan Toews shoots first. He puts it in. And then the shooters for the Canadians, it was Cole Caulfield. He scored. Then came down to Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane is 0-for-7 per Charlie Romeliotis dating back to last year in shootouts in his last seven. It's something you don't often see because he's such a masterful shootout stick handler and goal scorer at that. So Kane gets stuffed. He did get the goalie down and he tried to put it backhand, but there just wasn't enough room It was a forehand. I always forget. Yeah, because he's a lefty. I'm a righty. For me, it would be the backhand. For him, it's forehand. And you just didn't have enough room in between the post and the sliding pad and skate. So he gets stuffed. Nick Suzuki, the captain, comes down, scores, and then it's up to Anthony Seu to keep us alive. He does. He had a pretty sick shootout goal right through the wickets of Canadian's goaltender. But then the dagger, Kirby Dach, former Chicago Blackhawk, former third overall pick, well, still a third overall pick, but our former third overall pick, comes down, scores the shootout winner against his former team and gives a little hand behind the ear, like, I can't hear you, to the crowd. And they swarmed him on the ice. What did you make of this game and this shootout specifically?
I honestly think that if Canadians were not playing the Chicago Blackhawks, Kirby Dach wouldn't have been shooting. And he was told to go on the ice, be that third shooter, and he knew what his job was, and he executed it very well. He didn't – obviously, he's a little salty with some of the Hawks fans. I mean, he's kind of chirping him after he scores that goal. But, I mean, he got his job done. He had every right to do that. But it just kind of shows the character that he is. And if that's what he wants to be, then that's what he wants to be, you know?
Yeah. I was watching this game with my dad. And the minute the shootout commenced, I said to my dad, I'm like, there's no way that the Canadians are not throwing Kirby Dach out there against his former team. It's going to be cool to see, but it's going to be painful probably for Hawks fans. Also in this game, talking about overall picks, Juraj Slavkovsky, easy enough for me to say, was the first overall pick to the Canadians this past year. Jason Dickinson laid a huge hit on him, and there wasn't much of a response from the Canadians. Slavkovsky did go to the locker room, but he came back later in the game, so he's okay. But kind of good to see the Blackhawks getting physical, and they're not afraid to go after, you know, some competitors and stuff, and they seemed like they were ready to answer the bell, but it never came.
Yeah, I mean, they know they're not a very skilled team, so you got to play. Don't want to say dirty, but you got to be gritty. You got to grind. You got to really try and get under that other team's skin and have them or draw them into all the stupid stuff that happens and end up on the power play and stuff like that. And it's exactly what he did with that hit there.
You had mentioned Hawks not a great team this year. In addition to Patrick Kane going 0-for-7 on shootouts dating back to last year, Blackhawks lose last night to the Jets 7-2, which becomes their seventh loss in a row. So sevens are wild, and it's not looking too great for the Blackhawks. But this is where we knew that they would be. We knew that they were in a rebuild, and they're finally deciding, especially like we mentioned, the Thanksgiving break is a huge – American Thanksgiving break is a huge pivotal point in time where you have to decide whether you're going to be a playoff team or you're going to be a lottery team. And it looks like Blackhawks are making that decision. Not the players themselves, but the organization. The players are still competing hard. Somebody who is a hard competitor, Ryan Reeves – he played for he's been around a bunch of different teams, but most recently he was on the New York Rangers. They just traded him this past week for a 2025 fifth round pick from Minnesota. What did you make of this trade, and is that a fair trade?
I mean, he's not a skilled player. He's not a guy that you're going to put out there to score a goal. He's a guy that's going to go out there and protect your top guy. And I think that Ryan Reeves going there, Minnesota picking him up isn't a bad decision. Put Ryan Reeves with Kirill Kaprizov, protect that guy. I mean, Kirill Kaprizov is a master at his work, and he is unreal on the ice with that puck. But I mean, taking a fifth round pick for Ryan Reeves, that's I honestly think that the New York Rangers lost that one. I mean, Ryan Reeves is a big, big spot for the New York Rangers, and now they're gone. So we'll see how the Rangers can react to losing him. And I haven't seen their scores in the past week since he's been traded, but we'll see if he makes a big impact for Minnesota as well.
One of the biggest things that they had highlighted surrounding that trade was that Reeves' production total was not very high with New York. But like you had mentioned, you don't put him out there expecting him to score goals. He's more of a physical presence on the ice. And that was exactly what Minnesota had needed. They were complaining about how Kaprizov's getting double teamed and people are playing him more physical. So, yeah, you do need that body out there to kind of, you know, calm everybody down and keep people off your top scorer, your superstar. And yeah, like you said, it almost looks like Minnesota won this trade because they didn't have to give up much in order to do that. They were in a desperate situation and all they had to, you know, give up for it was a 2025 fifth round pick. I'd like to talk to, my cousin had dinner with Bill Guerin last year during the time that they had come in town to play the Hawks. So I'd like to pick Billy Guerin's brain on that one, because that was kind of a phenomenal trade for him. He looks like he wants to be the next Stevie Y, making all these incredible deals. But we'll see. We'll see how the rest of the season goes for both teams. They're hoping to both make playoffs and see where they can go from there. But speaking of playoff teams, the Devils, who would have thought, right? We had mentioned them last podcast. They were on a 13-game win streak. That was snapped by the Maple Leafs. And after the game, Devils fans had thrown empty beer cup, full beer cups even, out onto the ice, garbage. So, I mean, can you say fair weather fans? I'm sorry, Devils fans, but, you know, you just had a 13-game win streak and now you're upset. I think a lot of the controversy was because of the fact that there was a goal that was it in overtime, I believe, that was being reviewed in that game, and it went the Maple Leafs' way rather than the Devils' way. So that was how the game ended, a little bit anticlimactic. So maybe those beer cans were more for the referees and not for the actual players, but nonetheless, the Leafs had a fun time of just kind of pushing that around the ice and walking off with a victory. Marner as well is on a, Mitch Marner is on a 16-game point streak. So one streak ends, the other streak continues. And what are we solid on the Leafs this year? Are they for real?
I mean, I feel like they've been for real in the regular season for the past, what, since Matthews has been drafted, 8 years, 6, 7 years, something like that. And they've made the playoffs and they keep losing first round. But every year, I feel like they're just getting the extra step to where you really think they're going to do it. They really think they're going to make past that first round and just don't. Marner on the 16-game point streak. I mean, no surprise there. Marner's a sick player. He works his ass off. He works so hard to get that to that puck. As soon as he loses that puck, he wants that puck right back on his stick. He loves finding that open man for that pass, and he also loves shooting the biscuit. Absolute monster on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if I'm on the Leafs this year. Hot take for you, and I think I know my answer already, but does Austin Matthews hit the 60 goal mark again this year?
I think he does. I think he's that skilled of a player. I mean, I think he's like probably is the best goal scorer in the NHL currently right now. I mean, he just finds a way to release that puck so quick, and the goalie can't even react quick enough, and it just ends up in the back of the net. He's so accurate with everything, and that puck always seems to find a stick.
Yeah, he's not sitting atop the goal leaders right now. Top three goal leaders in the NHL: Jason Robertson from Dallas with 18, Bo Horvat from the Canucks with 17. A little bright spot for the Canucks there, considering how poorly their season has started. And then, of course, you got to mention him, Connor McDavid with 16 for the Edmonton Oilers. I don't even see Matthews on this list. I will find him. But in the meantime, other Leafs news. Boreas Salming, huge Leafs name dating back I want to say was he in the 70s or 80s? I apologize for not knowing. He lost his battle with ALS this past week, which was really sad because we had just seen him out on the ice doing getting honored that his number was being retired by the Leafs. And also he was dropping the ceremonial first puck. So really sad to see him lose that battle. ALS sucks, man. I mean, all the diseases do, but ALS is just, it's an awful disease, and you don't wish it upon your worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, summing, I mean, I, again, I, we both were not alive when he was playing, but it's always a tough time when you lose someone in the hockey community. I mean, everyone in the hockey community loves everyone, whether you're on the ice and fighting, but after that game, you're like, your friends, that's just how it goes. And Salming, I actually had a hockey stick. He has a, he has his own brand, Salming Hockey, and I actually had a hockey stick of his, and I think that it's amazing what he did. And again, it's a very, very tough loss in the hockey community.
Yeah. Going back to the Matthews thing real quick, he's currently sitting tied for 32nd with 10 goals. However, I mean, it's still very early. There's, I mean, a lot of players are tied with 11 goals, 12 goals. So, I mean, he's still in the mix, but not quite as far up at the top as you'd think, but it's still Austin Matthews. He could turn it on, whatever. So, even more Leafs news. It was kind of funny. There was a viral video of, there was a Leafs kid and his girlfriend. It was a video of them a couple years ago. They had taken a picture. The girlfriend was taking the picture. So he smiled for the picture. Immediately after the picture was over, it looked like he did not want to be there. He looked so upset. Typical Leafs fan. Sorry, Charlie Borda and Kevin Brickett, but typical Leafs fan that they're just disappointed in their team. They don't want to be there. Or maybe he was just annoyed with the girlfriend. We finally have some closure, right? It's funny. Come full circle. There is another video of both of them. They're still together. Good, great to see. They're still Leafs fans. The jury's out on that one. I don't know if that's great to see, but they're still there at the arena just this past week, and they were celebrating a goal. So a little bit of before and after with the two videos, which is kind of funny to see those both stitched together and the time in between of them.
It's hilarious. Like, looking back at, you know, when we first saw that, it's just, it's kind of funny to see him again.
Yeah. I almost didn't remember it. And then I was like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know who either of these two people are. They're not famous celebrities or anything, but the fact that somebody picked them out again and here they are. They gotta be on a you know, poster now for like number one Leafs fan. Take it away from Justin Bieber or something, or Drake, yeah, or something like that.
Right.
Both of them have worn so many of the other team's jerseys, and Justin Bieber stepped on the Chicago Blackhawks logo in the locker room. So I've still got a bone to pick with him, but but anyways, moving along, Jack Hughes also scored a hat trick this week. Going back to talking about the Devils, his first two goals, he had banked off the goaltender. One of them, he was skating behind the net, kind of threw it back out in front, went off the goalie's skate and in. So a little bit of, ping pong, a little bit of geometry there. And then his second goal, he was on the goal line, kind of in the corner, and he banked it off of the goaltender's mask and into the top of the back of the net. The third goal was an empty netter, sealed the deal for them. Just awesome to see this kid producing.
Their goal was not an empty netter.
Oh, it was not. I thought it was late in the game. Oh, it was a 2-on-1, and they sent it across, right? Yeah, okay. All right.
And he just it over the glove of who was in that? I don't even remember who was in that, but he just put it over the glove of short side, and it was sick. I mean, I love the second goal. I mean, as soon as I saw a second goal, first thing I thought of was Trevor Zegras in the World Juniors, and he did that same exact thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. It was awesome to watch, and happy for the guy. I mean, he had a rough rookie season, and now he's kind of going off. He's really, really starting to get the groove of things here.
You had predicted that he was going to be the star sensation that he is, and here it is. It's going to be his time to shine.
Absolutely.
That is about it for NHL talk. It was kind of a slower week, but we still had quite a bit to talk about. I know coming up next, you have your Pond of the Pod segment.
Yeah, so this week I'm Pond of the Pod. Do you want me to share my screen, or am I going to send you pictures?
No, go for it. Share the screen. This any new time listeners, this used to be my segment that I did when we had the podcast originally. I'd find an ODR or just a rink that I loved that I wanted to highlight. And now I'm passing it on over to Jake Ratter. Look at those lovely Peoria Mustangs right there. Kanger's somewhere in that picture.
Yes, he is. Let's actually take a quick look. Come on, he's right here.
Yeah,
right there.
What a
but,
guy.
So my pint of the pond this week is in Nederland, Colorado. It's an outdoor rink. I personally skated on this rink when I went to Colorado. It's in the mountains. Cool scenery, as you can see up here in the corner, looking out. And here's another picture right here. Those boards obviously covered by all that snow. But being up in the mountains, I mean, even in, being in Colorado, the you're just so high up that the elevation and just thinner air, so it's harder to breathe. And skating, there wasn't real glass, but it was netting up. It was netting up there, and nothing too crazy, but it was very cool scenery, and everything around it was so cool. Driving even up the mountains, looking at everything, and finally getting there. And yeah, so that's the pond of the pod this week. It's I can't even pronounce it. Nederland, Colorado.
I get it, because you want to say Netherlands, but it's Nederland. They forgot a couple Nederland. Words in there.
Right.
Very right. Cool. I love it. I am the reason I had even started this segment back when we first did Talking Pylons was I'm super into not just the rink that I build in the backyard, but my goal in life is to go and skate on some of these beautiful, majestic like rinks in the mountains and whatnot up in Canada, and you know, anywhere that's got, you know, outdoor glass ice. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for that. Moving along here, we have our missing the mark. I will say I have not been missing the mark. I've been doing pretty good with my bets, other than the parlay that I told you guys about earlier. I won't go through all of them, but the World Cup is on too right now. So I've been hammering some of those money lines with some of the games that are going on there. I tend to know my soccer as well too. Or at least I like to think I do. But NHL talk. What have we got here? We've got Wednesday night's games, Edmonton at Chicago. Yeah, Edmonton is 11-10-0. The Hawks are 6-11-4. So this is a pretty easy one for me. I'm taking the Oilers. And this one I want to highlight on Wednesday night as well. Little Caesars Arena, Buffalo and Detroit. So a little bit of a Caner action here. We had him on the podcast, so I'll shout him out. Another guest that we will have on in the future is Drew Duran. So Caner versus Drew on Wednesday night. Sorry, Drew. I'm going with Caner's Red Wings on this one. So I'm being an awful Blackhawks fan right now, picking the Oilers over the Blackhawks and taking the Red Wings over the Sabres. But, you know, you got to go where the money's at. Last game of the – well, actually – time-wise, they're all at the same, almost all at the same time. The Hawks game's at 8:30. All the other games that night are at 6 o'clock. One of those games is San Jose and Toronto. This one is in Toronto, and considering the fact that Erik Karlsson shut Toronto down last time and scored that beautiful game winner in OT, I think Toronto's going to want this one back, and Marner will probably continue that point streak. So hammer Toronto. Take Marner for getting at least over a point, or at least a point that night, if you can find that. Moving on to Thursday's games, we got Tampa Bay versus Philadelphia. I think even John Tortorella would be taking the Tampa Bay Lightning on this one, even though he's coaching the Flyers. So I've got Tampa Bay. They are playing in Philadelphia, though. Of course, for all these, I would also wait till the starters come out so you could see who's in net for some of these teams. Tampa Bay may be playing some backups if they're playing, you know, a team like the Flyers. We've got also on Thursday night, Colorado and Buffalo is a good one. I would want to take Colorado. They seem like the clear-cut winner, but Buffalo has been up and down all year, so it's a little pesky. So I'm not going to pick against them twice. Instead, we're going to take the Devils over the Predators. The Devils are hot. They will remain hot. They want to get back on these winning ways. Predators have struggled out of the gates this year, so I'm taking Jersey over Nashville. Let's see what else. There's a lot for Thursday night, so I could keep going here just real quickly. Man, almost everybody plays. All right, I'll just give a couple more, though. We've got Dallas and Anaheim. Dallas is, like I said before, almost leading the West. I can imagine they're going to want to whoop up on the Ducks. Sorry, Trevor Zegras, but I'm taking Dallas. Jason Robertson to get a point. I would also We wanted to look at those Minnesota games, like after that Ryan Reeves trade. Minnesota is playing Edmonton. It's a little bit closer of a game. Kaprizov and McDavid are both in this game, so I would throw on both of them to possibly get a point. McDavid to get a goal, even. He's almost leading the league in goals, so that's a good one there. And I'll give a couple for Friday. You said you had wanted to see how the Rangers are doing after that same trade. They're playing Ottawa. Ottawa, kind of a bubble team. The Rangers are supposed to be a playoff team, so let's give them some boost. I would take the Rangers over Ottawa. Islanders and Predators, I'm picking against the Predators again because I'm going to be a good Hawks fan right now. Plus, Predators, like I said, slow out the gates. The only other game on Friday is Columbus versus Winnipeg. The Jets have been hot. Let's keep them on fire. It is the Pierre-Luc Dubois versus Patrick Laine rivalry from that trade that happened a couple years ago. So these two teams have a little bit of history. But Columbus's history this year has led them to 7-12-1. So we're taking the Jets. And that is what I got for you. If you want any more lines for the weekend, you can contact me directly. But that is all I've got for the listeners. One last thing I wanted to mention before we go here is we had talked about it earlier with Kaner on the haunted house that we do. Most recently, I've just put together another podcast. It is going to be a monthly, not a weekly, like Talking Pylons, monthly podcast called The Voodoo Podcast. This past episode, I went and picked apart and analyzed pretty much all of the haunted houses in the Chicagoland area. There were only like one or two that we may have missed this year. We've seen them in previous years, though, but gave a pretty good review. The next episode coming up in December, we'll highlight the entire Voodoo on Vassar crew. So we'll hopefully have everybody that partook, including yourself, Jake Ratner, on there to talk about their experiences with Voodoo. So you can find that podcast everywhere that you can find Talking Pylons as well. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Is it Amazon Prime or I don't listen to podcasts on there. So you can find it on Amazon. That's all I know is it's everywhere. Pocket Casts, Google Casts. Yeah, go ahead and give that one a listen and support the boys there as well. But other than that, that is about all I've got. Any last things that you want to say?
No, I think we covered everything. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been another awesome episode of Talking Pylons. We are so happy to be back. Thank you, Thomas Kaner, for coming on. Awesome interview. We will definitely get him back on even closer to the summer, too, when it's time for the SHL game again. But until then, we've got some special surprise guests coming up again next week, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's still listening. Thanks for listening, guys.
Absolutely. Have a great, great time, everybody. Have a good week. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they show